Will you pray with me? Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and all of the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the scripture readings today highlight two of my all-time favorite miracle stories. In the book of Matthew, you see them back to back, but you also see them recorded and written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. It's been kind of exciting because this three-year ministry was part of Jesus coming to earth to reconcile man to God. Now, in today's scripture, the first one that I want to start with, we see Jesus has gone off to look for a solitary place. He wanted a little peace and quiet. You can imagine that now that the word had gotten out that he was healing people and teaching, that the crowds were following him, and he couldn't catch a break. The crowds kept following him. And instead of telling him, hey guys, I need some quiet time, I need a break, could y'all just leave me alone a little bit, he had compassion on them and he still healed their sick. And the crowds, which you heard, didn't leave. They still hung. And there were about 5,000 people there, huge crowds. And that was just the men. And then they started to get, it was getting a little later, they were getting a little hungry, a little tired, what I would call in my family, hangry. You know, the disciples thought, Jesus, they're kind of getting angry. They're hungry and they're tired. And what should we do? They said, let's send them off and let them go home and get their own food and go to the nearby village. We don't need to worry about them. And instead, Jesus said, they don't have to go. Let's give them something to eat. And after a little conclusion, they started talking. They realized all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish to work with. Very little. Now, I have a big tribe. I have 5 kids, and they have wives, and we have granddaughters. And I can tell you, most of the time, I live my life less is more, except with food. I like to have a lot. You cannot scrimp on food with big crowds. So when Jesus heard there were just 5 loaves and 2 fish... He didn't immediately say, what? That won't work. That's not enough. We can't do anything with that. He said, give it to me. Have everybody sit down and give it to me. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, scripture says he looked up. He looked up. And then he gave thanks. And then he broke the bread. Now, you know the rest of the story. You heard it. He fed all 5,000 and their wives and their children and everything. But my question to you today is, what happens when you come up short in life? When you come up short with, say, money, short of time, short of energy or ideas? Maybe you're short on strength, short on encouragement or compassion. Most of you know this story, and if you don't, I'm still going to say it because it's a perfect example. When they placed me here at College Park, my DS put me here to close it. Old news, everybody knows that. You know, they put me here to close it, and I got here, and I called my DS, and I said, I just don't feel that. I think something's going on. I just don't think it's going to close. And my DS said very clearly, Meryl, it's going to take a 5 loaves and 2 fish kind of miracle to save that church. And I simply replied, don't you know? That's when the Holy Spirit shows up and does some of its best work. Things happen because we cannot do it in our own might, in our own power, in our own selves. No. That's why the disciples were those ordinary men. There was nothing special about them because God never wanted there to be a question of where the power or the strength came from. That's why the Apostle Paul says, when I'm weak, I am strong, because it's never in our own might or power. It's always in God's power. And Jesus knew this, and he lifted the little he had, trusting his Father's will and faith in God's provision. Once Jesus had fed the disciples, it says immediately, he sent the disciples off in a boat and said he'd join them. He just shoved them off and he went up to the mountain to pray. Now, I'm telling you, don't you think he was ready after working with 5,000 and, you know, doing miracles with loaves and fish? And he said, I still need my quiet time. So he went up on a mountain to pray by himself, and apparently he got it. He just wanted to be alone with his Father. And then when it became the fourth quarter, which actually means 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus was ready to meet the disciples. He goes, I think I'm ready. I'm good. I filled up. I had my quiet time with God. So Jesus went to look, and they were kind of far out, and there were winds and waves, and he thought, I don't know about this. So it's recorded that he walked out on the water. And when the disciples saw him, They thought it was a ghost. And they were terrified. And they cried out in fear. And Jesus immediately said, "Take courage, don't be afraid." Of course, this is one of my all-time favorite disciples, Peter, who says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out." You know, Peter was a cannonballer. If you know the disciples, Peter was the cannonballer, and Jesus loved Peter's enthusiasm, and I could just hear him say, "Come." You know, like a parent in the water saying, "Jump, I got you, come." Now, you might know the end of this miracle story as well. Peter got out of the water, got out there, started water walking, but then he saw the wind and the waves. He started getting scared, and he looked away, and he began to sink. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. "Don't we all?" He cried out, "Lord, save me, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached out, took Peter's hand and caught him. And he looked at him and then said, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" Now, this is one place where I kind of struggle because I've never questioned Peter's faith. He was the one that jumped out of the water, right? He was the one who said, "I'm getting out of the boat, guys, I'm going." He had faith. I think he might have had an attention deficit disorder, an ADD. They just didn't know what to call it then. He became distracted, and I can relate to that. I can get very, very distracted. There have been times when I've been so brave and courageous, and I'm following Jesus, and I'm feeling bold, and then something happens. Something happens in my life. Something hits. Disappointments, storms, winds, waves, illness, family tragedies, financial setbacks, change in plans. We do not like change in plans, you all. But it's the one thing that's certain in life, and it leaves us distracted and scared and filled with fear. Do you ever get that sinking feeling? You were feeling so brave, and all of a sudden you're like, "I'm sinking. This is scary." So what are our takeaways from these two Sunday school stories that we know so well? Most of us have heard this forever. The first one is, be like Jesus. When we have just a little bit, take the little you have, lift it up and give thanks. Lift it up. Trust God in his goodness, in his will, in his plan and provisions for your life. Scripture says, "Many are the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Believe him. Believe him. He's got things. You never know what God has in store for your 5 loaves and 2 fish. The second thing is, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat, right? You have to be willing and brave and courageous and get out of the boat, throw that leg over. But the most important thing about water walking is keeping your eyes on Jesus. It takes spiritual discipline, prayer, time alone with him to invest in that relationship so you know each other really well. When distractions blow, remember that the winds and the waves know his name. You should trust that. Your faith and focus should be on him. And lastly, in this story, we kept hearing immediately, immediately. Immediately he sent him away. And then immediately, I think Matthew liked the word immediately. But then when they thought he saw a ghost and were scared, Jesus immediately said, "It's me. Don't be afraid." When Peter started sinking, immediately, Jesus grabbed his hand and pulled him up. Immediately. Jesus knows us. He's with us. The power of his Holy Spirit is right there. It's up to us to cry out when we feel like we're sinking and grab a hold of that hand. He's got you. A friend this past week, we were talking, and she said she was in a book study, and they were talking about how when your eyes aren't on Jesus and you're out there doing your thing and then something awful happens, how quickly we cry out, "Help, help, help, help," like Peter did. "Help, I'm scared." She told her group, "I can just see God up there saying, 'Really? Are you kidding me? You're calling on me now?'" And she said in the Bible group, it was just quiet for a few minutes. And one in her group said, this is all she said, "I hope he says, 'Welcome back.'" I second that. Sometimes big things happen and we forget how close God is. I second that he says, "Welcome back." That's how God responds, because he's not like us. He doesn't hold us in a penalty box for a while and say, "Really? You just stay there. You haven't been talking to me a lot recently." God immediately reaches out. His holy hands grabs us, holds us, pulls us tight and says, "Welcome back. I've missed you. I love you." you're safe. In the daily devotion that we're doing this, if you haven't gotten it, it's a great book by Bob Goff. It's just one page a day. But, and he's funny. Bob Goff is really funny, but he uses stories to make real important things real easy. But he says one of the things Jesus asks his friends to do, or most of the things Jesus asks his friends to do, were simple. They just weren't easy. Like, follow me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.